Hello, Cape Town. How are you doing?
Woohoo!
Yeah. Long ago, I had dreams of ministering in stadiums. Hello, Cape Town. Yeah. So, but this feels almost like stadium to me. Back in Tafelsig, where I'm from, we've got a much smaller congregation. So I'm like really blown away by all the faces looking at me. But luckily, it's friendly, happy faces. So I'm very happy tonight. It's really a privilege for me to be here. Thank you so much, Tiens and Liesel. Thanks for having us. And Ewald, welcome back. I haven't managed to give you a high five yet, but it's great. Getrouwde lewe is a blessing, nee? It's really a blessing when you find a wife, you do find a good thing. Not only if she's a doctor, but also other professions and stay-at-home moms as well. That's all good. So get married. Yeah, it's going well in Tableview. I can't remember exactly when the last time I was that I ministered here on a Sunday evening. It's been a while. I think I did one or two mornings last year. Those were early mornings. And, you know, some of you were here for that. That was great. But we've recently moved to a new location. As they say, location, location, location. So I'm really trusting because the Lord specifically sent us to that place and kept it just for us. It's a prime spot in my books as far as church goes. And we're at a new school in a new area with a lot of sort of building extensions coming on, or housing developments rather, that are coming on. So we're really trusting that the Lord will send some new blood and that we'll be able to reach some unchurched and unsaved people in that area. So we're really excited. We're in Sunningdale Primary School. So we're closer to the community. The previous 2 years, we were a bit hidden and tucked away between the pubs in Marine Circle Drive. And that had its advantages too. And we were able to reach some people that otherwise you wouldn't be able to come near to. And, you know, had some late nights at the office there. And, you know, I'd just be working or praying or something. And then the guys from downstairs from the pub would just appear in my office and be just broken and wanting prayer and things like that. And, you know, so that was a blessing that you won't necessarily have at the school. But we do pray that the Lord sends everyone. So it's really going well. We're trying to engage with the community. We've got a five-a-side football team going, and we play on Tuesday nights. And we've got a really blessed mommy's group. We've had baby boom over the last year in Tableview. So our kiddies church is one of the fastest growing ministries in the church. Anything to let the kingdom come, you know. What else can I tell you? Yeah, we're going to be doing a little kiddies staliki at the local market and all of these kind of things, and really just trying to engage with the community. But tonight we're speaking about true worshippers, and I just want to commend your worship team and all the work that goes in. And don't you guys have a fantastic worship team? Let's just give them a round. Yeah. I was very close to heaven right there, you know. I can't imagine that the worship in heaven will be too much better than that. I'm just kidding, but it really was awesome. You know, we come from, as I said, a bit of a smaller church, and you know, we're just happy when someone pitches up to lead the worship on a Sunday morning. But to have 10, you know, strong in the worship team, yeah, this was like heaven. I really so enjoyed worshiping with you, and the Lord was really here in a powerful way. I hope that you felt Him too. And I've just received so much confirmation as well in terms of the little bit that I want to add tonight, that is really on the Lord's heart for us here. And so I'm so excited to share with you tonight. I know it's on the Lord's heart. And you'll see in the picture behind the words there, some of you will be able to recognize who that is. I see there's some of his fellow band members from Stellenbosch here tonight as well. Welcome, James and gang. But yeah, he's known widely as the Etch, Etienne. Yeah, sort of, he's like the edge of you two, like just gospelized and saved and everything. And so he's really a top oak. But we're not talking about Etienne tonight or the Edge. true worshipers. Next slide. We're going to start, I don't know if you've got your Bibles here or on your cell phones, you're welcome to turn to John chapter 4. It's always good. Crack those Bibles open. That's in the New Testament. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. You're also welcome to follow in the NIV. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. We've had a couple of words before the sermon now that also really bear testimony to this. Just the context of that scripture. This was Jesus talking to the Samaritan lady at the well. Jesus going through Samaria and wanting to have a drink, coming to the well and seeing the lady with the bucket coming and then asking her for a drink. And you know that immediately he's got her salvation on his heart and he knows her brokenness and everything about her. And we see the word of knowledge coming about her adulterous affairs and so on. But he immediately engages her and around the topic of the water and throws it back at her and tells her, but if she knew who was asking her for water, that she'd ask him for living water. And so it goes on. And then it comes to a point where she realizes she says, you must be a prophet because, you know, she realizes he had this knowledge about her. And then she says, yeah, your fathers worshipped in Jerusalem and our fathers worshipped here on this mountain. And then he replies with this and saying, you know, that the time will come when the true worshippers worship in spirit and in truth. And so they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. Does the Father seek worship? No, he doesn't seek worship. He seeks true worshippers. True worshippers. And true worshipper worships him in spirit and in truth. Who is a worshipper here? Okay, this is where you all put your hands up. Okay. You are all worshippers. Some of us are maybe just not as good worshippers as others. It's like it's like the witness thing. We all a witness. You're either a good witness or a not so good witness. And the same is true for worship. We are all worshippers. The Lord calls us all to be worshippers. We're either good worshippers or not so good worshippers, leaving room for improvement. But the fact that you are here tonight is you are committed to that cause of growing in Christ and becoming a better witness, a better worshipper. Because this is not some Justin Bieber concert. You paid your bucks, you've seen it, and now you've seen that show, and you might have to wait another 2 years till he brings out a next album or something like that. I don't know how often he does. I'm not a believer. But you come here Sunday after Sunday, and often we're singing a lot of the same songs, but like the Word of God, it's fresh every time. Because it's not just a song. It's not just a book. Having 10 people in the band is awesome. I'd pay good money for that. Okay, seriously. With Tiens, we can chat afterwards. But singing is an expression of our worship. And let's backtrack a bit and go back to the scripture. We must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, God doesn't need our worship to exist. He existed long before us and our worship. He created us, yes, to worship Him and to love Him and to be in relationship with Him and to come to know Him. You cannot worship what you do not know. This evening, I'm standing before you. A storm is supporter. Yeah. And I'm not as excited as maybe other Tiens is tonight, who is a Freestat supporter. Okay. I'm not as excited. I didn't know the team. I didn't grow up with their posters on my wall. You know, I don't know how much Adrian Strauss weighs. I could take a guess. You know, I don't get excited if he walks past me in the mall, if he comes down to the beach or something like that. You know, that doesn't excite me. Bring Scala close to me and I'll be like whipping out my t-shirts for autographs and that kind of a thing. You know, and when are you back on the field? We need you. Okay, so you need to know before you can worship. So I'm not getting excited about the cheaters. But if you know them, if you've been following them, you get super excited. But we can't really chat with each other because I'm just not sharing that passion. That conversation's going to die a slow death. Okay, but when it comes to the Lord, you must know the Lord. You got to know what you are worshiping. You got to come. How do you come to know Him? Well, this is a good place to start. Good place to continue. You can never read the Bible enough times. Our elder in church, Prof. Yuan, he has the one-year Bible and he reads it through it from cover to cover every year. So he's read through the whole Bible probably 40 times. Okay. And you'd think he might have stopped after 30 times, okay, and maybe start reading some Joyce Meyer books or something like that. There's nothing you can add to this. This is the full revelation. This is where it starts and where it ends. The other things are nice to haves or, you know, they're all right. It's like a bit of veggies on the side, but this is your meat. Okay, this is what you need. Right, so you get stuck in there. We need to get to know God. You cannot worship fully what you do not know. We need to get to know God. So worship me. Spirit and in truth. And in the Spirit, what does that mean? So the Lord was also, she was talking about religious things. She was talking about rituals and places and venues of worship, you know, and methods. And the Lord says, no, that is not what is important. What is going to come, and you're going to understand this soon, the place where worship happens, it happens in the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, we do not worship the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship and glorify Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is glorified, God the Father is glorified. The Holy Spirit is God's change agent. The Holy Spirit is the director of the church of Jesus Christ today. He has been sent to continue the work in and through us. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. His job is done. The way of salvation has been paved for us. Now the Holy Spirit is busy directing the church. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship the Lord, reveals the Lord to us. We are only here tonight because the Spirit of God revealed the Lord to us and opened our eyes to the way of salvation so that we could receive Christ. We are only growing in Christ and able to lay down addictions and various bondages because the Holy Spirit is continuously at work in us. So none of us can take credit. And that's what keeps it fresh. And that's what keeps us coming Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and every day seeking and serving the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, and the Holy Spirit is the one. And the Lord is here in a powerful way tonight. And I really believe a lot of people have already received so much here tonight. That's why I don't have too much more I can say. I know that, you know, what I experienced in the Lord tonight was just truly awesome. I don't know if you've ever had that. You just maybe driving in your car, walking somewhere, and you just start thinking about the Lord, and you can't help it. You just start smiling, or maybe even, you know, just having a laugh or something, but there's just something spontaneous that's coming there when you just meditate on the Lord, when you just think about Him, and He's continuously at work. It's not like we could conjure up those thoughts. The Lord is busy at work in our lives. We worship Him spirit and in truth. You've heard that song, I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Excuse my singing. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Now, that is what the Lord is interested in. He's interested in our hearts. We're not paying lip service to God. You know, so a lot of, this morning we had a praise and worship service. And a lot of churches will advertise their services as worship services or so on. You know, and that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the focus is worship, but worship is not so much the singing, it's not about the songs. We are very blessed with amazing songs, and as I said, expressions of our worship. But worship happens in the heart. It's not happening here, it happens in the heart. This is an expression. This also helps us to focus on the one that we are worshiping, the object of our worship. It creates that opportunity for us, and it helps to cancel out the distractions. How difficult isn't it to worship the Lord while your cell phone is busy ringing? Or when someone's busy talking to you? And life is so busy, and there's so many things to get done. And it's so difficult sometimes just to sit and focus on the Lord, even sometimes when you're just sitting with the Word, to just solely focus on Him. But there's something so all-consuming about the anointing of a praise and worship song that helps to cut out the noise and the distractions so that you can focus and so that you can worship. It's not about the song. It's about the ability to focus on the Lord, the object of our worship. And so my next scripture is Hebrews 12 verse 2, preceded by chapter 11, the heroes of our faith. And verse 1 talks about, okay, so we have all these faith heroes coming from the scriptures. Let us now run this race with endurance and lay aside every sin that so easily ensnares us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author or the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus is the object of our worship. Jesus is the one that the Holy Spirit directs us to worship. When he's glorified, God is glorified. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That is what we are trying to do when we worship corporately like this, which disciples us and trains us how we can do it, maybe on a smaller scale, unless you're like really close friends with all these guys. At home, you can do that. In your car, you can put in a CD and you can learn to zone everything out, keeping both hands on the steering wheel and eyes open, and still worshiping Jesus. Now, you can't see Jesus so much literally in person like that, but spiritually, your eyes are fixed on him. He is your source. There is no other way. He's the one who saved you. He's the one who opened your eyes. He is the one who is going to help you to finish this race. Run this race with endurance. He's going to help you to finish it. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, in motorcycling, I've done a few track days. And there's this law of motorcycling that is called, the one is about object fixation, which states that if you're driving along a road and you see a rock in the middle of the road, notice the rock and immediately look away. Look to where you want to be riding. Look at the path that you will take to evade or miss the rock. Because if you keep looking at the rock, you're going to hit the rock. Object fixation. I think the same could be true for cars as well. So that's just a free nugget for road safety tonight. Same is true when you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. You are likely to become more like Him. You are likely to grow in His ways. You are likely to hear His voice. That is true, isn't it? Ladies, you'd be able to bear me out. If your husband is watching TV and you're talking to him and he's still watching TV and he's going, he's not hearing you. You've got to be looking at your wife to hear her. You've got to be looking at Jesus to hear His voice. Don't think that you can focus and busy yourself with everything else in life and think that you're going to hear Jesus when He talks to you. Now, you need to spend consecrated, dedicated time with Jesus. That is when you'll hear His voice. God is so faithful, isn't He? I defy you to spend half an hour in the Word, focused in the Word, and you tell me, no, but Jesus didn't speak to you at all. I'll say, no, go back. Do it again. You didn't focus. When you fix your eyes upon Jesus, you will hear His voice. The Holy Spirit will be able to direct you in what He has in store for you, for your life. That song continues. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When we're worshiping here, it's not so much about the great voices and the skills. You can worship the Lord with a rundown honky-tonk band. It's what you are fixating on. It's what you are. And you can have Chris Tomlin and the Passion Band here tonight blowing the ceiling off of this church. And your mind can be elsewhere. And you could be doing zero worship. We're going to have a practical a little bit later on. So the band mustn't leave before the end of this. Okay. Now, the next scripture, actually, it's the final scripture that I have for us tonight. I was serious when I said we're going to get practical. Matthew 16:24. Again, just before this, Peter rebuked the Lord when He was telling His disciples that He had to go to Jerusalem and be killed at the hands of the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees, and that He would rise again on the third day. And so, yeah, Peter rebuked him, said, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. And then Jesus rebuked him back. Don't try and rebuke Jesus. It's not going to work well for you. Okay. So Jesus puts him on his place. Get behind me, Satan. You know, speaking to that false accusation that came there. And said, you know, you're not mindful of the things of God, but just of the things of man. You're not thinking, you're not being led by the Spirit. This is not God's plan, what you are talking about. This must happen. If this doesn't happen, there's no salvation for you guys. So let us get on the program. We need to be led by the Spirit and hear the voice of God. But then Jesus continues, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. I'm talking tonight about what some aspects of what is worship and what is not worship. So in the first instance, we said worship is not an event. It's not coming to a place. Worship, you have to know the one you're worshiping. You can only worship the Lord through the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That is where it starts and ends. The Holy Spirit needs to be in it. And then we spoke about the fact that Jesus is the object of our worship. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. You are focusing on Jesus while you're worshiping. If you're thinking of other things, you're not worshiping. And yes, the Lord calls us all to be worshipers and true worshipers. So you can get false worshippers or not so good worshippers. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus. I actually omitted something I wanted to add with the previous scripture. We read that Jesus went through with the crucifixion for the joy that was set before him. Now that is another aspect that would define true worship. There'd definitely be joy there. In heaven, there will be no false worship. There'll only be true worship. You won't be able to take your eyes off of Jesus. You'll be surrounded by the fullness of his glory. And in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. So yes, sometimes we cry during worship because you see something of the Lord and it blows you away. And you see God's perfection, his beauty, and his holiness. And you consider how much he loves a sinner like me. And it just, you're struck with awe. And you're so grateful. Just gratitude wells up in you. But joy, there's always a joy there as well. And often it's just tears of joy and you can't contain yourself. But there's joy when we worship the Lord. There's joy. The word says, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. This morning we actually had a worship service, as I mentioned. And we had all five of our band members in the band. It was awesome. Okay. And we asked the church to bring a token of this, of something that they are grateful to God for. Doesn't seem like everyone got that memo, but you want to know what I brought? Does anyone want to know what I brought? Okay, right at the back there. Okay, you can come ask me after. Okay, no, I'll tell you. So I brought along a pirated CD. Okay, which shows, you know, the Lord can even use things like that. I did not pirate it. I received that. But that CD was my first worship CD, gospel CD, Christian CD that I ever got. And it was 3 months after I got saved in the UK. And I was in the doldrums and that CD came by mail at just the right time. Because right there, after 3 months of going flat out, witnessing for the Lord, wearing these Christian T-shirts that I designed in the UK and not getting a very favorable response, and trying to witness, I witnessed nights through to when I just had to get out of London after I got saved because I was like really sort of just experiencing darkness, and it was hectic because my spiritual eyes were open for the first time, and it was like I had to get out of this city. This is like Sodom and Gomorrah. I need to get out. You know, this place is going to go down. So I went into the countryside and I got a job in a hotel. And I did night duty as a porter. This old eerie 4-star country manor hotel with creaky wooden floors. In the middle of the night, I have to walk down and it's mostly like empty hotel. So it really tests your faith as a young believer, you know, because you're aware of things like demons and stuff for the first time now. And so, you know, it's like, gee, they could take me out now if they wanted to. And so you're walking around the middle of the night in these dark, you know, they don't keep the lights on there for you. And so you have to click your key in these different boxes at the different parts of that. You have to like clock into it to show the people you did your job. And then on the nights that I wasn't working, you know, you get like maybe 2 off nights in 10 days. Then I would spend it with the other porter who was an Australian guy. And he enjoyed having me for company. He didn't mind. I was just evangelizing him every night, like for hours and hours. And I think he just enjoyed having some company, not having to do this alone. But I was convinced this guy's going to get saved. Tonight he's going to get saved, you know. And so I spent all my free nights with this guy. And you know, by the time I left that hotel, he still hadn't made a commitment to the Lord. And so I was back in London. And I was feeling a little bit depressed. Lord, you know, I'm really trying my heart out here and nothing is working. You know, I don't see people getting saved or anything like that. And I was like, you know, my prayers were going more towards from, Lord, please save these people, to Lord, please take me to heaven now because I can't anymore. You know, I'm tired. And so I was getting a little bit depressed and thinking like, I'm a failure, you know. I had these ambitions of ministering in stadiums and things like that. You know, I was just seeing God's coming back soon, and you know, the world has to get saved now, you know. So it's like, get the most people together at one time. We've got to make this thing happen. And nothing's happening, not even one person getting saved. And so I was like, okay, Lord, sorry, I failed. Take me home now. And I was feeling kind of a bit in that place of, you know, Jonah, and feeling all sorry for myself and Isaiah and all these people that sometimes, or Elijah rather, I'm getting my guys mixed up now, and just sitting there kind of under my little shady tree and, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And then this CD comes in the mail. And so I put it on. It's like, whoa. And that song that I was like half singing tonight was on there as well. Okay. And so, and it's amazing. Garment of praise, spirit of heaviness just goes out the door. And literally for a month, that was my medicine. Just praising the Lord, focusing on Him. And then I was able to, like coming into His presence like that, just silencing those accusations and those lies of the enemy, just being able to worship the Lord and focus on Him. And then the Lord just started comforting me and building me up again and just giving me like a fresh vision again and everything. And that saved me. That pirated CD saved me. Okay. That was the Lord's grace to me at that time. It took me out of that pit. As they say, when you're in a hard time, seek the Lord. When you're in good times, praise the Lord. No, thank the Lord. And at all times, praise the Lord. Hard times, seek the Lord. Good times, thank the Lord. At all times, praise the Lord. We need the Lord every day. Amen? Whether you think it's going good or going bad, you need the Lord. In fact, you know, life is less of a roller coaster and more of a railroad track. At any point in life, you're experiencing some favor, some advantage, some things going for you, and some things not so good and not going for you, some adverse conditions. At any point, you, whether you like it or not, you need the Lord every moment of every day. Jesus says a true thing. He only says true things, and He said, you cannot live without me. You cannot live without me. We have come to know that there are a lot of people that don't know it yet, and we understand that, especially, obviously, concerning eternal life, there is none without Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so, finally, an aspect that defines a true worshiper would be surrender. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. You see, when you fixate on Jesus, when you are pressing in to Jesus, the cross will always come up. What He did for us at the cross, because there is no salvation, there's no relationship with Him without an understanding of what happened at Calvary. You will see the cross at some point, if not very soon, you will see the cross. But you know, as we grow in being a true worshiper, as we grow in our revelation of the Lord and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, in the beginning, it's so amazing. It's like it's all about you. You come to the Lord and it's like, wow, Lord, gee, imagine, you know, just come and take that hurt away from me. Come and help me to forgive that person, Lord. Please bless me in this aspect of my life. You know, help me. And it's like everything, you realize all the possibilities, everything the Lord can give you strength for and can do for you. And the Lord is a loving, generous Father. He wants to bless. And that is true of Him. You know, and one of my first prayers, like in the night I got saved, and I was just praying, and, you know, I was just so excited, and from laughing and tears of joy to tears of repentance, it was like going the whole night and for the next few days. But one of the first things that when it came to, okay, Lord, yes, I understand. This is now why I've been made, and it's so awesome to know you. And Lord, I'm not going to let you down, and I'm going to do so much for you, Lord. And Lord, wouldn't it be great if I can become a Springbok rugby player? And Lord, imagine that platform. Maybe I'll become the best rugby player in the world. And then when I testify after being man of the match, after every match, and I tell them, you know, it's just because of the Lord Jesus Christ that came into my life that this is possible, and put your faith in Jesus. And the Lord said, no, you know, he stopped me very short in that prayer. You know, I was just starting to get excited there. You know, because I knew the possibility. Because I realized after I got saved, I realized something that's true for all of us that don't know the Lord is we all have a fear of death. For everyone that doesn't know the Lord, there is some level of uncertainty, there's some aspect of fear if you don't know the Lord. And I didn't realize I had it, but when I came to the Lord, I realized it left. And that's how I knew that I had it. And I suddenly had no more fear. And being fearless is quite an advantage, I think, in the game of rugby. So I was hopeful, but then the Lord said, no, thanks. So, then it was quite funny. And I really, the Lord really filled my heart with so much peace where I was quite an angry and aggressive type of a person. You know, there's always someone I wanted to hurt, and sometimes it was myself half the time. But it's funny, after a few months, I felt like, you know, I wanted to try connect with people. Obviously, I was always trying to connect with people, and I decided to join the rugby club because I knew there's a lot of people that need to get saved there. So I get into the rugby team again, and, you know, because I took a few months off, I didn't quite know what to do with this peace and this love on the rugby field. And so I get back into the rugby, and it was so funny. Every time I tackle someone, I'm like, are you okay? And whatever. And that also didn't go down so well. And then I picked up kind of a career-ending injury. And I think that was just God's grace that I stopped wasting my time giving rugby a bad name, you know. Just giving the guys hugs after you tackle them. It just doesn't go down well. Okay. But it's all good. And so, in the beginning, it's about, oh, what can the Lord do for me? But very soon, as we grow in the Lord, it becomes, okay, Lord, I see now. It's not about me, it's about you. It's not what you can do for me, it's what you have called me to do for your kingdom, for your name's sake. Lord, what can I do for you? And that's a place of surrender. That's a place that you come to if you stay focused on Jesus, which is worship. Being focused on Jesus is worship. When your heart is drawn to him, when you're yearning for him, when you're connecting with Jesus, that's worship. That is how everything that you do in this life can be an act of worship. Worship is not just a song. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you, Jesus. And so I want to invite you tonight just to come back to that place. As I mentioned before, we're all here tonight again because we know we've got some way to grow. None of us here have arrived, otherwise we wouldn't have been here. And so when I make an appeal to surrender, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, that is one that is true and an invitation that is there for each of us every day. And so what I want us to do tonight, if the worship team can come up again, and I'm so blessed that we've got a 10-piece band tonight, because I'd love it if it's okay with everyone, if we can worship a little bit more. And the challenge tonight is, because I know how it goes, you know, and we have morning services in Tableview, and yet, by 10:30, you see, you start losing one or two people. When they realize you're starting to wrap up, their minds are already starting to go towards, what am I going to have for lunch? And I know that's a challenge for some of us here tonight, towards the end of our services. We're starting to think, I can still catch the 8 o'clock movie. What is it again? What's my wife cooking for supper tonight? What am I going to take photos of and put on Facebook? Now tonight we're going to continue worshiping. And Greg and I will be in secret communication. You're not going to know how long we're going to worship for. Can I have 5 minutes from anyone? 5, 10, 20. No, we're going to spend some time in worship. And the challenge, the discipline that we want to grow in is what we need to learn is to lay down the distractions and to focus on Jesus. Even look past the great melody. Think about the words that you are singing as well. We have amazing worship songs, scripturally based. Songs that tug at the heart. Songs that connect with the heart of God. When we understand what we are singing, when we know and fixate on the one that we are worshiping. And so the challenge tonight, the area that we're going to grow in and that we are going to disciple each other in tonight is to be able to lay down every distraction, the 8 o'clock movie, the workload that is still waiting for tomorrow, everything, how it's going at home, the state of your children or your marriage or whatever. You're going to lay everything down tonight because all of that is superfluous to your relationship with Jesus Christ. He's first and foremost. He's calling us ever deeper in relationship with Him. I was so blessed after the worship service this morning. We had a guy come forward for prayer that has been serving the Lord for 15 years. And he was repenting and he was in tears. It was sincere repentance like I haven't seen in years. And that really touched me so deeply. And I just had to try and kind of keep it together just to be able to minister to him. But you know, he realized how his Christianity had become more of a, I want to almost say, a churchianity, a habit of going to church, going to small group, serving the Lord. And he serves faithfully virtually every week without fail. But the Lord showed him he had lost his first love. And at the same time, the Lord invited him back to make him his first love again. I want to say it again, you cannot live without Jesus. Without Jesus, and if we don't grow in being true worshippers, if we don't grow in knowing Him, and in being able to connect with Him, being able to fixate on Jesus, if we don't grow in that, we're wasting our time. And none of us want that. And all of us do want to worship Him. Because He deserves our worship. He's God. And He died for us. And tonight I want to invite you to surrender. Deny yourself. Lay down those distractions. When you perceive a distracting thought coming in, or a thought outside of Jesus Christ trying to penetrate your mind, you take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You take authority over that thought, because that is the enemy, the father of lies. He plants thoughts in our heads. At the least, he will try and distract you. And he loves distracting you during consecrated times of worship like this, when we are meant to be focusing on the Lord, each of us individually, for what he has for us, and for what he has asked of us. This is where he steals your power. This is where he steals your authority, when he can distract you. When you can be thinking of food or entertainment or rest or something. No, the Lord, he wants to be your first love. He wants to be number one. And that is the invitation that I hold before you tonight, to continue to deny yourself. Continue to lay down your life. Continue to surrender. The Lord says that if you want your life, you must first lose it. It's a place where you give the Lord carte blanche. You say, Lord, this my life is a clean slate. Write on it what you want. Tell me what you want. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm willing to lay it all down. No, whatever's coming after the service tonight, nothing comes close to being as important as this moment. If I can focus on a project at work, why do I struggle to focus on Jesus Christ? Who's so much more important. So much more. Project's nothing compared to Him. So now, we grow, being able to focus on Jesus. Now you practice that, and you can expect resistance. You can expect opposition. You have an enemy. Let us not live in a fantasy world. There's an enemy that wants to kill you, steal from you, destroy you. And he'll start at trying to steal from your worship, trying to steal from your connection with the Lord. He tried to prevent the Israelites from getting out of Egypt. They were going out to worship the Lord in the desert. And the Lord had to send 10 plagues to release his people to worship him. What does the Lord have to do to get your attention tonight? Let us focus on the Lord. You are extremely blessed as a church. And I was praying about, Lord, who am I worshiping with tonight? And the Lord told me, you're worshiping with a people that love the truth. And so I know you're halfway there. If you aren't there already, you're halfway there. You love the truth. And I commend your leaders. They love the truth. And that is a big part to do with why you love the truth. God is blessing this congregation. And you've got an awesome vehicle with which to express your worship. You've got awesome opportunity every week at intercession, every week at church, in your small groups to corporately focus on the Lord and worship. And the Lord talks to his people. He loves it when we come together. He loves talking to his family. He always has something to say when we're together. He's enthroned in the praises of his people. If you're not wanting to do it for yourself tonight, if you somehow don't think you are worth it, let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. But as a start, just do it for him. And I promise you, when you connect with him, he'll show you that you're worth it. You are precious to the Lord. The Lord is jealous over you. He will fight for you. He will remove things in your life that are distracting you from him, because he knows what's best for you. And what's best is that you are able to focus on him and to worship him. So you might find yourself in an uncomfortable position sometimes, or where life is very hard. And you know what? If that brings you to your knees, you are privileged and blessed. Because it's bringing you back to your first love and to what is important in this life. Don't let the urgent take precedence over the important. Don't neglect spending time with God because you have a busy work schedule. You make time for God. You tell the people you have an important appointment. If you're not ready to tell them, you've got a meeting with Jesus. Will you stand with us tonight? Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege of being called your children. Thank you that you have given us the right to be called your children. Because we believe in you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you loved us first. Thank you that you revealed yourself to us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your continuous work in our life, directing us and directing us as a church, helping us to worship the one, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. And Lord, right now we want to lay down every distraction. We lay down every condemnation, every lie of the enemy, every false accusation. We lay it down right now, Lord. Lord, we want to love you with all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our mind. Help us to focus on you, Lord God. Right now, as we're going to start praising your name and worshiping you, Lord, through song, Lord, help us, Lord, to worship you from our hearts. You look at the heart, Lord. We do not want to be a people who worship you with our lips, Lord, but our hearts are far from you, Lord. No. We bring you our hearts tonight, Lord. And we say we want to surrender to you, Lord. Tonight we want to come and lay it down once more. We want to come and lay down our lives, Lord. We come and deny ourselves, Lord God. We see, Lord, that next to the cross of Calvary, there's another cross, Lord. There's one with our name on it, Lord. It's a cross that you have called us to pick up. It is not an easy life, Lord, but it's a blessed one. It's a life that ends in heaven, in the fullness of your glory. Lord, we want to take up our cross tonight, Lord. We want to say tonight, Lord, you are more important than everything else in this life. You are worth standing still for and just focusing on and laying down every other thing. You are worth it, Lord, because you are number one. Come and be our first love. Come and take up your rightful place on the throne of our lives, Lord. So often, Lord, when we're confronted with reality, we find ourselves sitting on the thrones of our lives, directing it. Well, Lord, tonight, we want to lay down every vain ambition. We want to lay down every selfish thought. Lord, tonight, we want to invite you to take preeminence in every aspect of our lives, Lord. Our life at home, our life at work, our life with our friends, our life with our family, our sport life, our entertainment, Lord, everything. We ask you to come in, Lord, to be part of that, Lord, to take it over, Lord God, to show us how, to show us where, to show us when. But Lord, we ask you to direct. When we are left up to our own devices, we'll find ourselves in the gutter, Lord. When we lean on our own understanding, Lord, we will fail. We need you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all. Help us all, Lord. Help us to focus on you. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are where it starts and you are where it ends. Jesus before me, Jesus behind me, Jesus above me, Jesus below me, Jesus beside me, Jesus in me. Lord, we just want to be empty vessels for you, Lord. We want to make a difference in this world, Lord. It's not good enough just knowing you, Lord, when there are millions of others that don't know you yet and you have asked us to do something about it. And we know we cannot do it in our own strength. So why even try, Lord? We need you. We need to be consumed by you to get the job done, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to build your kingdom with you, to partner with you, Lord. The work at hand is beyond anything we can accomplish or imagine. We need you, Lord. Minister to us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll plant seeds of destiny and vision in people's hearts here tonight. Vision, Lord, that will direct them going forward. Vision that they can write down and run with, Lord. Your will be done, Lord. Your kingdom come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all the other things to you. Everything that you need to get the job done, he will add it. Don't you worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just before we start worshiping, if the Lord is speaking to you tonight and you know you need to surrender, you need to lay some things down tonight. You want to lay some things down before you leave here tonight. You want to be able to go home and focus on the Lord. You don't want to know a day in this week without Jesus. If that is you tonight, raise your hand. So Lord, I just want to thank you for surrendered hearts here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are at work in people's lives here, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for everything that you've already done in this congregation, in each individual member's lives. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity and a grace to surrender and lay down that which you are asking of them in this time. I feel there's people here tonight that need to lay down bitterness and unforgiveness. I'm not sure if it's a family member or a close friend, but you've experienced such hurt and you've been struggling to let it go, been consuming your thoughts. You need to lay that down, because you cannot serve our Lord and hold on to that unforgiveness at the same time. You need to lay that down tonight. You need to, as Ewald showed us earlier, you just visualize that thing and that relationship, and you put it in your hand, you give that to the Lord tonight. You say, Lord, I cannot. I give it back to you. Help me, Lord. Help me to repay evil with good. Help me to love my enemy. Help me to love. Help me to forgive. Help me not to hold it against them. Lord, come and take this bitter water and make it sweet. I want to speak blessing and not cursing, Lord. I want to meditate only on that which is pure and holy and praiseworthy. I feel there's some people here that have felt disappointed. Something that they've expected an answer from God for that they haven't received yet. And this is a major stumbling block in your growth in the Lord. This is a major stumbling block in you coming to the Lord, being able to experience His love and His embrace. This is keeping you away, and you need to lay that down tonight. The Lord is never late. The Lord is never wrong. The Lord knows what is best for you. The Lord answers prayers. If He's staying silent, it's because you already have the answer. It's because you already know. It's because He's already shown you. He will remind you, and He'll show you again if you come to Him with the right attitude, place of surrender. Lord, you know what's best. Your thoughts, your ways, Lord, are above mine. I surrender to you. Someone here standing in faith for a sick family member. Think they're terminal. I want to pray with you tonight. Is there someone like that? Yeah, just raise your hand. Thank you at the back there. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can corporately bring this family member before you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. Lord, we put our faith together tonight and we speak healing over that family member. Those family members, we speak healing, Lord. Speak your life over them now. We speak life. Thank you for healing, Lord. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for hope. Thank you for faith. In Jesus' name. We're going to start worshiping now. Remember the challenge. Stay focused on Jesus. When the distraction tries to come, not if it comes, when it tries to come, take it captive to the obedience of Christ. Take authority over that thing. Bring it under Christ's feet. And fix your gaze upon Jesus. Forget about it. Forget about it. Focus on Jesus. Forget about it. Focus on Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.